Hear that? That's the sound of a patient whose health data is protected from a cyber attack. And that's the sound of a financial system that's digitally secured from bad actors. Right now, there's an invisible war being fought on a digital battlefield that impacts what we do every day. That's why at Periton, we do the can't be done to help protect the vital systems we rely on. Because if we don't, the alternative is unimaginable. Periton.
Hey y'all, this is Amanda Shaw, and you're listening to Floors Truly with Tina and Jeff.
Live from New Orleans, home of the Pelicans, Saints, and your Houdat Nation, this is Tina with Floors Truly. This week, Jeff is off, but I have a very special guest that y'all are familiar with. Georgette, tell everybody hello on Floors Truly.
Hey y'all, how are you doing this week?
How are you doing this week? Thanks for joining me.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. It's always exciting having an opportunity to talk about my beloved New Orleans Saints.
Is it even exciting after such a terrible loss on Sunday?
Oh my God.
Well, an inexcusable loss on Sunday.
Inexcusable. Oh, PATs. Yes. Even after that.
Two weeks in a row, two losses,
yep.
2 points.
Mm-hmm.
Just, Falcons. You saw my rant. You saw my rant yesterday.
I did.
I have a rule about, if you follow me on social media, I have a 24-hour rule about losses. But after watching the other games and seeing the highlights on ESPN and NFL Network, something like snapped in me. And it wasn't just about us. Mm-mm. It was just about, because I even talked about, the COVID violations with the Saints last year in the locker room and us losing the draft pick and being fined almost, just a ridiculous amount of money and players possibly, being suspended. There was talk of it. And then we have something happen this year with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, which is to me even more serious.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically got a slap on the wrist. And I'm like, this is just a double standard. This is a double standard to what goes on with the Saints, with officiating, with just the Saints period. But it's not like, I had a couple people chime in and say, well, I'm a Lions fan and that happens else a couple of times with officiating. And someone else chimed in, I don't remember, maybe it was the Steelers, I think, that chimed in about it. But case in point, like it's not just us. We had that ridiculous roughing the passer call, which negated the interception by Marcus Williams. But how many times has it happened? We had Taysom Hill with that brutal, brutal concussion. And if you've ever had a concussion, it is horrible. I wound up in the hospital with one and I don't play football and I know how sick I was for days, but he said the news came out last week that he literally had 50 minutes, 45 minutes of just nothing, doesn't remember anything.
He doesn't remember anything for 45 minutes after that hit. And that's shocking.
But that's okay, right? We don't fine him. We don't suspend, we don't do anything. We just, okay, that's fine. You can do that to our players. Okay.
Well, look at what Devin White, was it not Devin White that took out Jameis Winston for the season?
Yes.
And nothing. Not even a conversation about anything for him. He got.
And if you want to go way back, you can go to the 2011 season, which a lot of people thought the Saints were going to repeat. Mm-hmm. They were on their way to the Super Bowl, and I think had that game against the Niners and Pierre Thomas not go the way that it did, I think we could have won that game. It's just our game plan. When he got hurt and he got, excuse me, on that legal hit, by the way, because it was not a legal hit according to what they said, which today it is, but you knock him out the game, you change the game plans, and it the life was just sucked out of the team. So how many, and that was 10 years ago, but we could go further back probably if we watched a bunch of games. It's just, my point is, it's like the double standard. So that really just changed and took the momentum out of the Saints' hands at that point. But yes, like you mentioned, our kicker, 2 extra points and we lose by 2. So you do the math. We can force that game into overtime.
That interception stands.
That interception stands. Who knows what could have happened on that next play? Would we have scored a touchdown? Would we have kicked the field goal and actually not went into overtime and won by 3? I don't know, but it changed the game. Mm-hmm. And I know from experience following these players on social media, knowing that some of them that have played in past teams, it affects them when something like that happens, and they're on the field and like Sean Payton said afterwards, he didn't want to talk about it.
No, he was furious.
And I don't blame, he was livid. He was livid for a lot of reasons. Players, Troutman, we, I don't know why we can't get a tight end. What is it with us and tight ends? We get rid of Jared Cook last year. We get Trotman. He performed, you know, decent a couple of games. The last two games, it's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, that penalty. It's like, I'm so lost at this point with this team, because I'm sitting here thinking, you know, looking back at the schedule and the games that we lost and how we lost them, on paper, we shouldn't be the better team. Mm-hmm. We've lost our starting quarterback. Mm-hmm. Technically, we lost our backup quarterback when Taysom went out. I mean, he's back now, but, and then we lost, you know, Michael Thomas. We had Traquan Smith, who was out for a while. He's back. Now we've lost Alvin Kamara. I mean, we lost David Onyemata for a couple of games due to suspension. We may possibly lose Harris for a couple of games. We still don't know what's mm-hmm. going to happen with his suspension. Mm-hmm. You know, the list goes on and on with these injuries. And this team was still battling in the trenches to try to win. Well, but we're sitting here now at 5-4.
I know. And what's scary to me is today, it's questionable whether Taysom is going to be able to play this weekend. And so, you know, we stack up these injuries and we think to ourselves, if we don't have Taysom this weekend, what's going to happen? We won't have Alvin. We mightn't have Taysom. I hazard that, you know, we're going to see Trotman in the game again. And I firmly believe that he needs to be benched. Do you remember a couple of seasons ago when Mark was dropping the ball and coach benched him for
a game?
I do. You remember how furious Mark was, and he was sulking on the bench, but do you remember him dropping balls ever after that?
No.
Like I don't think that guy has dropped a ball since that.
People were talking about, you know, we need to cut him. And I'm like, wait, this is a Heisman Trophy winner. Right. This is, you know, this is, no, you don't cut him. You correct the mistakes. Like any right. employee. I mean, I worked in HR for 18 years. So it's like, I think of it kind of like in a business sense. You try to, you know, you mold these players, but you also mentor them and try to help them correct their mistakes. Now, yeah. Once you've done everything you can, and they're still not like that, we've had players in the past, there were, you know, they couldn't get the plays. They couldn't, you know, learn the playbook. So, you know, we let them go. It's the same thing. You know, you're dropping balls. Like you said, you bench them, you have them get out there and they work extra with the jugs machines after practice, after everything's over. And like you said, Mark was a different player then. Mm-hmm. Fans wanted him cut then, but then yet when he left two seasons ago, you know, fans were crying and devastated over the whole mm-hmm. way the thing went down with his agent and him not being here. And then, of course, he literally broke Saints Twitter when he re-signed a couple weeks ago. So exactly. Just goes to show you how fickle fans are. You know, NFL stands for not for long. It's like, what have you done for me lately? And I said this before. Yep. I've said it before. I'll say it again. This team may be beat up and bruised, but mm-hmm. they're still very talented. We have a top 5 defense, but that defense can only bail us out for so long. I feel Agreed. Like the defense is now Drew Brees. When mm-hmm. Drew bailed us out and we had so many fourth quarter comebacks, we can't do that when we start games and, you know, we dig ourselves in a hole that we've got to climb out of, because I've noticed like the defense started really strong this season and then they kind of just tapered off and they're a little sluggish. It took them 3 quarters to get back into the game, and we can't have that. And no. I mean, yeah, we can't expect them to be running on all cylinders all game every single week, because things happen. But I mean, the point is here, you've got to have an offense that's going to at least put forth that effort. And I don't put it on Trevor Siemian at all, because if you look at his numbers, he's doing what we asked, just like Jameis was doing what we asked of him, but he got hurt. And that's the thing that stinks about this, because when the season started, I'll be honest, Georgette, I wasn't like, I was excited for football, but I wasn't like overjoyed, like, oh yeah, we're going to Super Bowl this year. You know, mm-hmm. knowing like when we had Drew in the past and all, because I just felt like so much uncertainty. I was just, I'm glad mm-hmm. we got football. I want to yep. see what Jameis can bring to this offense. And that's what I missed, because I was so excited to see him and Michael Thomas, and knowing the kid had an arm and he was mobile. Yep. But I mean, you saw, you know, what that caught, you know, with his injury being such a mobile quarterback, and he wasn't afraid to get out of the pocket, and, you know, ACL, MCL injury. So it's like, now it's like, okay, you know, what can Trevor do? Well, man, Trevor, you got an arm too, but guess what? These receivers have got to step up. Trotman cannot sit out there and have stone hands and have a ball literally, you know, fall into his hands and he just you know, lets it go through, and it, and like, he just stands there like he's dumbfounded, like he didn't realize what's going on around him. Dude, you are an NFL player.
I know.
You're paid to play.
I know it. And, you know, I think, and I think I said this on your Twitter account yesterday during the 24-hour rule, was that I think that Troutman needs to be benched. And I want to say coach has said that Vanett is ready to come off.
Yes.
And come up and play. And I think that this is the time that we sit Troutman because he needs a break. And that's, I'm trying to be kind. He needs a break. He needs to sit down for a moment and collect his thoughts. And I think we put Vanett on the field and we force feed him. And I think someone needs to have a conversation with Callaway where he needs to step up, because he really bonded and he was really playing with Winston.
He looks lost.
He had practiced with them all offseason. And so they were tight. And I think that, you know, there's that missing link with some of these receivers because they had practiced in the offseason with Winston, and they don't have that connection with Trevor. And I feel for Trevor because he's trying really hard. The kid is, you know, lobbing these balls down the field and these guys are dropping them everywhere. And I think these guys really just need to connect with Trevor in a way that they had already connected with Jameis. And I know it sounds, I don't even know what the word is, but there's that, it's almost like an emotional connection. I don't know if you watched Good Morning Football this morning, and there was this.
I didn't this morning, actually. Okay. I usually watch it. I didn't this
okay,
morning.
So this morning, if you've been watching the Lions season, as we all know, they're 0-8-1. And their guest hostess, their guest host this morning, Rachel, for the life of me, I can't remember her name. Hilarious. She was in for Kay Adams, and she did this 2-minute bit about propping up the Lions and trying to encourage them for the second half of the season. And I almost feel like someone needs to walk into the receivers meeting room and have the same conversation with the receivers that she had with the Lions. You have to see it. It was hilarious and tongue in cheek, but still
spot on
in the heart. A bit where you're kind of like, I hope the Lions are watching this, because there's some part of this that actually kind of is like, yo, get behind this speech, guys. Go out there on Sunday and play some football. Yeah. And I just feel like there's that moment where if these guys can really connect with Trevor the way they were connecting with Jameis, we can go a really long way.
Yeah, we just don't have the luxury of time at this point. I mean, we're at the half. Yeah, if we lose this week against Philly, you know, we're 500. Oh, and then we've got to turn around on a short week and play Buffalo. And at least we're home. But I mean, the Superdome doesn't have that magic that it used to. No. The dome field advantage is gone now. So on a short week, you know, we're playing Buffalo, and the Bills are a great team. In fact, I've got Josh Allen. He's my quarterback in my fantasy league, who's just, you know, we've been killing it this year. But I mean, so it makes me nervous. You know, it makes me nervous about that, because it's like we possibly could lose these next two games and then that's it. You know, we've got Dallas after that, you know, and then Jets. And I have gotten to the point where it's like, I don't want to beat up on my team, because I'm ride or die Hoodat for life. I mean, I've been a fan, I'm a season ticket holder for years. I remember back in the days watching this team practice before they had their facility on Island Drive. They used to practice on David Drive by Mike Molly. And when I tell you, that field was like Jazz Fest when it rained. I mean, it was a hot mess. Nobody ever came out there. My best friend's dad at the time worked on the equipment team, and her twin brother's stepdad was their manager. So we'd go out there sometimes and we'd, you know, watch them practice. No one ever came out there. If you wore a Saints shirt in a store, you would get teased. So it was like back in the day when I knew it was bad. And that's why I made my comment yesterday. I said, some of you may have conveniently forgotten, or some of you may have not been around. I said, but we have been through worse times. Uh-huh. But back then, we didn't have the talent or the team or just, you know, everything. Like the Saints and the front office organization, you know, they have a great scouting group. They will go out there and find players. They may not be the players we want, but, you know, we fill the holes. Back then it was like, man, like, you know, we were just lucky. We were lucky to win a game 3-13, you know, 2-14. I mean, you know, those were rough times. This is not rough. Because again, like I said, the last 2 weeks, we could have won those games. You know, given 100. Our little stupid mistakes. Yeah. Yep. Stupid little mistakes, and we could have won. Here we are now having the same conversation that we had, you know, week one about receivers and week four about receivers. And it's like, okay, we're wasting our defense. We're wasting a season. I'm not saying we're going to go out and you know, ball out there in the playoffs and make the Super Bowl, but play up to your expectations. Play to the level that, you know, we know that you can. You know, if the kicker, if Johnson isn't it, and I mean, he's our third kicker this year, you know, hey, look, I wasn't kidding when I said, you know, give Garrett Hartley a try. Call him up, see what he can do. You know, bring in some college kids. Somebody mentioned that on WWE the other day. What about all these guys that graduated college actually that was kickers? You know, and they're not playing in the NFL. What are they doing? You know, look, we signed guys literally off the street before. Why not now? You know, Sean Payton said, hey, there's going to be personnel changes. We're going to be looking at it. You know, show us, show us, you know, don't say you're going to do it. Cause I know you're frustrated. I said this about Sean looking lost, you know, Drew's gone. He was planning with Jameis. Jameis is now gone. It's the 2-3 weeks is not the time for change. Right now is time for change. Make it happen. Saints Twitter is going to be angry no matter what. But I mean, if you at least give him a bone to chew, you know, at this point and see that, hey, look, we're trying to make changes and we're trying to improve while the season is still salvageable. I just don't want to be looking at us back in, you know, in January, having these same conversations saying, man, you know, what could have been, because like I said, I don't expect anything. I never expected the whole season. It was just when you started, like you said, seeing Jameis gel with these receivers and we were winning games that we shouldn't have won. I'm like, okay, we got something here. And just play up to your expectations. And like Jeff said last week, catch the daggone ball. I mean, you're getting paid way too much money.
Well, this is it. And the thing of it is that, you know, when you think about it, we've been holding on to that wild card spot all along.
And yeah, I was doing, we're still 16.
Yeah, we're still. And what's funny today, and even last night when you were listening to, I don't know if you watched last night's game, but when I was
watching parts of it.
Oh God, it was so spectacular to watch. The Rams just like, they
rammed out.
The 49ers deconstructed them. It was phenomenal to watch. But Peyton and Eli still talked up the Saints in a fashion that we're still considered contenders, all the mess aside. And they did it in a way that was respectful. And so people still consider us, and even on Good Morning Football today, we were still spoken about in our wild card spot with all of the mess that we are. Mm-hmm. We're still considered contenders with our wild card spot as someone that the Rams need to be concerned about.
We've overcome a lot of adversity. I mean, if you 100%. Look at the first week, you know, playing on the road, which should have been a home game, you know, then losing our coaches, you know, out for COVID, losing a bunch of players, you know, week two. So I forgive that game just, you know, because of everything that happened. The Carolina loss, I just feel like it was the perfect storm of everything that happened. So, you know, I let that go, you know, that loss, that one, I don't accept it, but I'm not as angry about it because of the way everything went down. But I mean, like you said, we're still the sixth seed. This week, the impossible happened. No one gave Washington a shot to beat Tampa Bay and Brady, and they did. So had we won this week, you know, we'd have been sitting, in a totally different position in the division and in the conference. And it's like, so you're saying that it's like, okay, we're still contenders. We are the number six seed right now, and we can turn it around. It's just, you know, actions speak louder than words. So this week's theme, last week it was catch the damn ball. Thank you to Jeff for that motto. This week's theme is, you know, make it happen. It's not too late.
We do
something. It's not too late. Make it happen. You know, actions speak louder than words. That's what we're going to go with this week. Actions speak louder than words. Show us that you're trying to improve. You know, like sit these guys down and in their receiver meetings and, you know, stress to them, hey, look, one more week of this and, you know, we're going to cut you loose. We're going to bring up guys from the practice squad. I mean, I'm not a coach. I'm not a scout, but it's like, hey, look, they're pulling all these guys out of nowhere right now. Sign them, you know, McCluskey's a name that was with the team during training camp and they've signed him today. So people are like, who? Well, at this point, it's easy to know you're not going to sign big names. I mean, Odell Beckham was like the dream. I mean, like you just don't see players of that caliber come up available to sign in the middle of the season. And as you saw, we didn't even get Odell. And if you watched last night's game, you know, the dream kind of looked like a nightmare last night. And I don't know if it was just because it was his first week with them or what it was. So we're not going to beat up on that. We like to joke, you know, of course, because we're Patty fans here, but we'll just see what happens with him and the Rams next week. But regardless, like those kind of situations don't happen. You know, these are guys' names that you just, you know, next man up. That's where that comes from, next man up. So we just, you know, we hope and pray, have faith that our team can turn it around. And of course, you know, if they don't, we'll be back here next week on Floor Truly talking about it again.
Oh, yeah. This is the thing.
But Georgette, I want to tell you, thank you so much for joining me tonight. I really appreciate it. It's always fun having you on here. You're as passionate as I am and most Saints fans on Saints Twitter, which, you know, like I said, 24-hour rule. We don't talk about it the next day. Although I say that, but like, you know, 90% of them are. The 10%, if you follow them, they're a hoot. So... But speaking of Twitter, you can find me, I am Tina, the Enola Girl, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can follow us at Floors Truly Pod on Twitter. And of course, on Instagram, it's Floors Truly Podcast and Facebook as well. And Georgette, you can tell everybody where they can find you if they want to follow you and check out all the fun that we're having online every day.
Absolutely. You can find me at Georgie68. On Twitter, and I like to think my Twitter account can be pretty hilarious.
Oh yes, we have a good time. We have a great group, not just us within Saints Twitter, but we have a great group of fans and followers that are fans of football in general, and we're just, you know, a fun circle, and we don't take it too personal unless we're playing each other that particular week, but that's a whole nother story for another show. But again, thank y'all for joining us, and we're gonna see you again on Floors Truly. Hope everyone has a great week, and please, please, Saints, beat Philly this weekend. Who dat, baby?
Who dat?
Hear that? That's the sound of a patient whose health data is protected from a cyber attack. And that's the sound of a financial system that's digitally secured from bad actors. Right now, there's an invisible war being fought on a digital battlefield that impacts what we do every day. That's why at Periton, we do the can't be done to help protect the vital systems we rely on. Because if we don't, the alternative is unimaginable. Periton.